Hi, this is Deanna Mangello from Orlando, Florida, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 63 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today, and with me on the show is Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean. And Michelle, where are you going to be tomorrow?
Tomorrow? Oh, tomorrow after this airs. Okay. It's all, you have to kind of put it in context. Tomorrow, Mike, I'll be going to Walt Disney World because I am going to be spectating at the Expedition Everest Challenge. I'm really excited.
Yeah. Looking forward to getting some nice warm weather to maybe get a run or two in. And it should be interesting to see Expedition Everest and maybe do a few other things, huh?
Yeah, it would be nice to actually go on some attractions on one of these trips, so it'll be fun. And, you know, here in New Hampshire today I was wearing shorts, and yesterday I was wearing shorts, so it's a funny time to be getting out of town. I have a very special shout-out tonight, and it is to the Ramos family of Puerto Rico. And we know our friend Angel is going to be doing the Dopey, and he wanted us to give a shout out to his family. And first is his wife Jacqueline. She's going to be doing the 10K. His daughter Kellyanne is going to be doing the 10K. And friends Daisy Rodriguez, who's doing the 5K. Deanery Rodriguez is doing the half marathon. And Paul Ferrer is doing the marathon. So he sent me a very sweet message because he's a very sweet guy. You could say he's an angel. And asked me if I would give a shout out to all those folks so that they would be encouraged to run their races.
Well, you know, people talk about my accent, but I think that it's pronounced Angel.
Angel?
Angel?
Okay.
Angel. Something like that. Anyways,
sure,
we're doing...
I took French in high school, so please forgive me.
I love you, Angel. we're going to be doing some questions because we've got a lot of questions. So, Michelle, why don't you start us off? So,
twice in 1 week?
Yeah,
I don't know if our listeners are going to be able to take that, but okay. So our first question is from Teresa Passmore, and she says, it's sort of two questions embedded in one. She says, "Hi, Mike and Michelle. I just registered for the WDW half, and it will be my first ever race. I'm both thrilled and terrified. I have two questions. Number one, running through the castle is what is motivating me, but that climax happens only halfway through. Then what? Any tips for keeping myself going the rest of the way? What sort of magic can I look forward to on the second half of the course?" Mike, I agree. I know that running through the castle is what you see on all the press shots, and it really is exciting. So what can she do for the second half to get excited, other than the fact that the bling is going to be at the end?
Well, Teresa, when you come out of the castle, you're pretty much at the halfway point, and actually the halfway point is probably... The halfway point is right around Country Bear Jamboree. It's Country Bear Jamboree. That's about that's the midway point. And then you're going to go backstage, and then you might see some interesting sights backstage that you might say it's some kind of entertainment before leaving the Magic Kingdom. And then you get to see one of the many, many wonders of Walt Disney World half marathon, the half marathon race and marathon weekend. And it is that you will see all the largest traffic cones and the most traffic cones in the world, and they'll be known as Cone Alley, and it's all down along Grand Floridian Way,
and also some great spectators are along that way too.
There are some bands and some DJs along that part of the race, specifically around the Grand Floridian and near the Wedding Chapel. The Wedding Pavilion, I guess.
Yeah, and usually Mary Poppins and Bert are there too, around the Grand Floridian outside.
Usually, and then right around the toll plaza is when you'll find the last remnants of entertainment, and then after that is when all your training takes over, and all those months of training, all those miles take over, because it's the last 5 or 6 miles that are really, really where you really need to call on your training, and that's when your music also comes into play. So basically the first 10K of the half marathon is where all the entertainment is.
I think too, you know, running down near the Grand Floridian is really fun. I think from that stretch near where the Car Care Center is, and when you go in the overpass to Epcot, that's sometimes there's the is it the major or the sergeant from Toy Story? He's on the overpass and kind of yelling out, you know, come on, you can do it, soldier. And then once you get past that and you're up on the on-ramp, then you're coming into Epcot, and you can really kind of see what's out in front of you. You see, you know, Spaceship Earth, and once you get closer and you get back into Epcot, there are lots of people cheering along the way, and then you're in Epcot running for the last part, and there might be, at the end, usually, not all the time, but usually there's a gospel chorus, which always makes me tear up. And then you're in the home stretch. You have a few more feet to go before you cross that finish line. And maybe you'll hear Rudy Novotny say your name. Go up and wave to him and Carissa. And then you get your medal. So I think there's a lot to keep you going. There are some spots where there's nothing, but I think there's a lot to keep you going.
Yeah, actually miles 8 through 11 are probably the toughest part of the
Yeah, but then you can look at people's costumes. Sometimes people are wearing costumes. It's still fun. The second question she had is, can I expect an offer for discounted park tickets for runners this 2014 marathon weekend? I'm reading conflicting reports on this, and I'm trusting your insider info. Thanks for your help and for your awesome podcast. You guys rock.
So, well, one of the things that I've learned over the years is that every time a question comes about Walt Disney World, and I'm not sure about the answer, I always say I can't guarantee the answer, because Disney is known to change policies, to change things in midstream. I do recall that I've heard in the past, Michelle, that there have been some discounted tickets, but I don't know. I'm not sure where. Some have said it's on somewhere on the Run Disney site. I don't. No, I haven't looked for them, so right. I mean,
well,
I haven't any old
pass. I mean,
pass,
I know
so.
Sometimes in the past, and this hasn't happened all the time, they have they offer marathon runners a free park ticket, like a one-day park ticket, but I haven't heard any of that this year. So, Teresa, if we hear anything, we will let you know. We get press releases from Run Disney. If we hear anything about that, we will definitely keep you in the loop and announce it. But so far, I wouldn't count on it.
Nope.
And it's not something you have to get right away, like right this moment, so I wouldn't worry about it right now.
Our next question comes from Ashley Wilson of Davenport, Iowa. Ashley says, "Hi, Mike and Michelle. I've just recently started listening to your podcast, and now I'm hooked. Thank you so much for hosting such a positive, inspiring, and informative show. I have a few questions for you regarding the 2014 Princess Half Marathon. Here's a little background. My mom, aunt, uncle, sister-in-law, and I are all running the 2014 Princess Half. This will be the first half marathon for my mother and me, but the others in our group are semi-experienced runners. In 2007, I was training for the Chicago Marathon before I suffered a severe broken leg. My mother also broke her leg about a year later. A couple of titanium rods, a few screws, and a few years later, we're ready to start training for our first race. This is a huge deal for me because I'm still trying to overcome the pains of my injury, and an even bigger deal for my mother. And she has lost over 60 pounds in the last year, trying to get her health back in check.
Woo-hoo.
Question one. We do not plan on doing the race retreat, and since the five of us will all be finishing at different times, what is the best way for us to meet up after the race? Is there an obvious place to catch up with everyone to go back to the resort?"
That's a great question. So when you finish the race up and you're going to get your bag, there are letters for the bag check. So you go usually through depending what your last name is, you'll be going through the W section all the way down at the end. And then there's a family meeting area around there, or you can just wait at the end of the bag check, which is what I probably would recommend that you do. Just go to the end of the bag check and stand out, you know, say I'm going to be 10 feet outside of the bag check, wait there. I think that's a good way to do it. Mike, what would you recommend?
I would recommend what you just said.
Okay, that's good.
Question number two. We plan on taking bus transportation to and from the race. We're staying at Bay Lake Towers. I've heard about how and when to get the buses to the starting line, but where and when can we get the bus back to the resort? Well, the thing is actually that, you know, you have another option, and that is the monorail. Since you are going to be on the monorail, you may want to consider that. You just walk across to the tower, and you'll be right there for the monorail. But if you're taking the bus and you want to take the bus back, you have to go all the way to where the buses are for Epcot. So let me explain. If you're looking at Epcot, if you're looking at the center, the front of Epcot, and you're looking at Spaceship Earth, the race gathering area, the start and the finish, is way over to the left. I believe it's the Discovery parking lot, but I'm not sure about that. Anyways, when you finish, then you have to walk all the way to the other side of the Spaceship Earth area to where the buses are. Now, you're all going to be running a half marathon and probably running a little bit more because it's such a mile and a quarter to the corral. So a lot of folks who would be staying at the Contemporary, at the Grand Floridian, at the Polynesian would probably opt for the monorail. But regarding the buses, you'd have to walk all the way to the other side, to the far end of the Epcot parking lot where the bus terminal is. Michelle?
No, I would agree with what you just said.
Okay. Question number three.
We're in harmony tonight, I think.
My dad, husband, and brother are all on baby watching duty that day. They plan on taking the kids to the Magic Kingdom while we are in the midst of race day. What would be a realistic time we could meet them back at the resort? Taking into consideration, I might be the last person to cross the finish line. Michelle, do you want to attack this one?
Sure. So, you know, let's say that the race starts. It'll probably start a little earlier, but let's say for you, when whatever corral you're in, you start about 6 o'clock. You'll need to finish by 9:30 or so to meet the race requirements, the time requirements. And then by the time you get your medal and get your bag, I would say that would put you at 10 o'clock. And then getting a bus back to the resort, I would say 11 or 11:30 would be a good time to tell your party to meet you back at the room. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I think that's about what I would say, Michelle. I wouldn't that particular day, which is Saturday, is going to be a crazy day, and it would be best for the family to who's not going to be out there rooting the runners to relax and get a good night's sleep, and then expect the runners back sometime between 10 and 11. It will take a while to get through, to get the medals, to get your banana, and to walk to the buses and to take the buses back. So again, if you figure on finishing 9:30, if you're lucky, if you get on a bus by 10 or quarter past 10, and probably the earliest would be somewhere between 10:30 and quarter to 11. But I'd say 11 is a good bet.
Yeah, I think too, though, that you're not leaving yourself any time to kind of walk around and bask in your glory after the race. You might want to take some pictures and things like that. So I'd shoot for 11:30. I would say 11:30 is a good bet. And then let me just tell you, Ashley, when you get back, you are going to be in need of a shower, and you're going to enjoy that shower because you'll be all sweaty and everything. So if you want to jump out and go to a park later, you're going to need a little more time in addition to that. So, okay. So our next question is from John Beale, and he says, "Hey guys, I just found your podcast and I'm hooked. One night I burned through about 10 of them in one session." Oh, that sounds like torture, John. "I have a good question for you that I think could spark some interesting conversation. I just ran my full marathon at Disney last January. I can't stop. Planning on doing the Dopey Challenge next year and currently now training for an Ironman. I heard you guys mention that Disney once hosted a half Ironman on property. I know I would love to see that come back to the parks. The realistic side of me thinks it just won't happen. I understand the incredible liability with the swimming part. Also, the bike portion would require so many roads be closed. The marathon, which is only 26 miles, already basically brings the property to a stop. However, John's making me work for my money here. However, it's very clear that the Run Disney events are becoming more and more popular. Disney may want to add a triathlon event, just like it added the 10K. It would obviously sell out and bring more people to the property. Look, Run Disney may get to the point where they want to add another type of event, but already have enough strictly running events. So my question has two parts. Do you see a triathlon ever happening again at Disney? Is the first one. And if you could plan it, where would it be? Think about this. If you started the race at Hollywood Studios, you start swimming in the canal and swim to Epcot, that would be such a cool place to exit the water and start the bike portion. Let's hear your ideas for a fantasy triathlon. Thanks for the fun content. Can't wait to see you guys next January race weekend. My goodness, Mike. Okay, so do you think that Disney will ever see a triathlon again?
Well,
you know, I remember it was a few years ago that they had the half tri.
It really wasn't a full triathlon. And that's why the answer to the first question is no, it will never happen. Because if you think like Disney management, the first thing you're thinking is, we don't want to tie up the parks. We don't want to tie up the parts of the resort for the whole day. A triathlon would be the whole day.
It would. And, I mean, I think that a lot of people would like it. Maybe a sprint triathlon that, you know, it's a lot. But it's the swimming part. I remember, and I mentioned this on the podcast before, the gentleman who I met at a resort who had done it said the water was just really, really disgusting. So even for a sprint triathlon, you would need a good space to run. And I think it would be really cool, but triathlons take a long time. I mean, we're talking like 9, 10, 12 hours to finish. So
it's a long time. And yeah. Think about all the pickup and all the maintenance and all the cleaning and things like that that would have to take place because of all the people hanging around the water or watching it. It would just not be practical, and I don't think you'll ever see it.
And then the other thing, Mike, is the transition areas. So when you come out of the water, you transition to bike. Everybody's bike has to be waiting there. And then you transition to the running part, so there has to be a place to put your bike. So, John, I would love to, if you want to write back and give us your ideas, but I agree with Mike. I'm not sure that I see this happening again. It would be interesting to get some information from Run Disney. Maybe we can, when we're at Expedition Everest, we could stop and ask people why they stopped doing it.
Well, I know why. I believe that last one was done maybe, I want to say 7, 8, or 9 years ago.
There was an incident. Oh, okay.
There was an incident in the bike portion, and I believe someone was injured, and it took place at Fort Wilderness. And ever since then, I believe that the insurance companies are saying, you know, you really don't have probably a good handle on that. And I think that Disney tried it. And again, it was a sprint try. It was not a full triathlon.
No, it was a half try. It was a half try.
And I just think that it's not going to happen. Okay. The next question comes from Liz Griggett, friend Liz Griggett. And she said, I did something really silly. I decided that Give Kids the World would be a good fundraising effort, so I joined. Then I realized Tink is exactly 1 week after. Two halves in 7 days? What was I thinking? And how do I train? Michelle, we've done two halves in 7 days.
Yeah, well, first of all, Liz is one of our princesses who she told her story on our podcast earlier. She was doing her first half marathon and she did it successfully, and she just joined Give Kids the World has a new fundraising team, so I think that's fantastic. But now you're going to be doing the Tink and getting your Coast to Coast medal. And Liz, it's very, very doable. You are already going to be trained to do a half marathon, and the 7 days in between one and another is going to be perfectly okay. So what I would suggest that you do is to train for your half, and then do maybe one or two short runs in the middle of the week just to keep your legs fresh. Maybe stop on, you know, do one maybe on Monday, one on Wednesday, and then you'll be all set to do your other half. I think that if you can get, when you get to California, give yourself a little rest if you can get there early, and make sure you stay off your feet the day before. But you should be fine. What do you think, Mike?
I think that it's funny. I've been reading about how often runners should do back-to-back halves and marathons, and it's interesting what I felt, what I believed before I read the article, and now what I'm thinking about now. I want to reinforce what you said, Michelle. I think that you can do it, Liz. I don't think that's going to be a problem. However, what you need to do is you need to be very careful between the first and the second half. My suggestion would be that you don't do any running for the first 48 hours after that first half. And then I would say do about a 10K and then shut it down until your next half. You will maintain your stamina and your conditioning for a half marathon up to 4 weeks between halves. I mean, you could, without doing anything. So basically what Michelle said is correct. What you want to do is you want to make sure that your legs don't stiffen up. But give your body a chance to recover, and then maybe do a little bit, maybe on that Wednesday, and then shut it down, and then you'll be okay.
Yeah, and you're already trained for that half marathon, so you're going to be fine. Okay, the next email we have is from Maureen Haggood, and she says, I need advice. Been running for over 4 years, never had many injuries. Now I have horrible IT band pain, which causes so much knee pain. I'm in physical therapy, but I'm so worried I will never run again. If anyone has gone through this, how long did it take to recover? Mike, do you know anybody who went through this?
I think I'm talking to that person.
Yes, Maureen, I am proof that you can get through this and you're going to be okay. Now, our caveat, of course, is we're not medical doctors, we're not physical therapists, but I would be happy to share my experience with this. So I had the exact same thing. My IT band was pulling on my kneecap, and it was actually pulling my kneecap off track so that when I ran, my knee would just, it would be really, really uncomfortable. And I went through lots and lots of physical therapy for this. And doing the foam roller helps, using the stick helps. But what I learned from my physical therapist is it actually will not cause any permanent damage, that pain, at least in my case. I can't speak for your case. So if I could deal with the pain, I could still run. But of course, I didn't want to deal with the pain. So I followed what the physical therapist said to a T. So for me, it was a lot of foam rolling, some different exercises. I had some KT tape, and she taped my kneecap. So up until very recently, I had to do it for all the sports I was doing. I taped my kneecap over to the side so it wouldn't slip out of place. And the thing that's helped me the most, Maureen, has been strength training. I've mentioned it before here on the show. I used to wear a black strap around my leg, a Velcro strap. I don't have to do any of that anymore. It's been fine. I still need to keep up with the foam roller. And I'll tell you, the foam roller hurts. It really does hurt, but it stretches out your IT band. So I would do that on both sides. But definitely keep up the exercises. One other thing that just occurred to me is that they instructed me that I shouldn't just be doing running. I should be doing other things. So I added cross training. I'd always played tennis, but I added spin class that helped out too, and some swimming. So those types of things help. Mike, did I miss anything?
Oh, I think you're the person I go to for IT band.
Yeah, you lived through that. You were witness to all of that stuff I had to go through.
Oh yeah. Our next question comes from Clam, who says, thanks in part to your podcast, I've started running again after a long time off. After I shed a few pounds and as I pick up the miles, I'm embarrassed to say that one of the things I'm looking forward to the most is being able to eat whatever I want. However, I have a gnome-like body, well, minus the beard, so I have always had to be mindful to maintain my weight through portion control. I know I probably shouldn't replace all the calories I burn up with New York style cheesecake. So do you have any ideas of what is a good ratio of carbs to proteins, veggies, and fruit for people who run? Any suggestions on what to eat during training to bolster our running would be much appreciated. Cheers. Well, Clem, it's funny that this question comes about because Michelle will tell you that I've been studying up a little bit on this over the past several months, and I've come across a few things that, again, I'm not a professional, I'm not a nutritionist, I'm not a trainer, but I can tell you what I've been reading and what I try to do. Regarding the ratio of carbs to protein, I think that most would say that you don't want to go more than a 3-to-1 ratio. That is, for every gram of protein, no more than 3 carbs. That's hard to maintain, but you have to figure out what would be a good diet for you. As far as veggies and fruit, I don't think you can ever have too many veggies and fruit. They're good for you. They're really good for your system, and I think that as long as you have a good balance of veggies and fruit, I think you're going to be okay. The other thing is that if you are running and you want to become faster and more efficient, then you really have to be careful about portion control, like you said, and serious runners. I don't believe serious runners run to eat. They eat so they can run. And so what that means is that they eat what they feel will help them run. And as far as what to eat during your training, a lot of runners really look towards peanut butter and bagels. I don't know what it is about the bagels. I know I can see the peanut butter, but the bagels to me would be a little heavy. But there are recommendations to have bagels. And with your peanut butter, Michelle? What would you like to add?
Well, you know, I know you study nutrition a lot. I don't as much as you do. But my only suggestion, and you sort of alluded to this, is to not go out on a, you know, 5, 6, 7 mile run and then feel like it is your key to just pigging out for the rest of the day, because I think you'll undo everything you did on that run. What I try to do, what I find when I'm doing, especially the days of my long runs, is I try to really eat a lot of protein. And so I'm not going to speak to any of the ratios. I don't know any about that, but I would just be careful not to sabotage what you're doing by eating too much cheesecake. So Mike, we're just about the end, but we have one more question that I'd like to read, because this is a timely question and I want to make sure that we talk about it. And it is from our friend Jill Fox, who's been on the show before. And she says, question, need help. I tore my calf muscle in March and I have a half marathon on May 5th. Since I've been really restricted in training, only 3 weeks in taper. So I'm going to be doing the Galloway 5-1 for this. So that means she's going to be doing 5 minutes running, 1 minute walking. All okayed by my PT. But any tips you can offer for Galloway etiquette would be appreciated. It's not like a Disney race where Galloway is expected. So I just want to make sure I do what's best for me and the other runners. I have read in one of his books in the past, but I've never run a race in Galloway. So I'll tackle this if you want, Mike. Jill, I'm not sure if you're using a Gym Boss. If you are, the Gym Boss is the thing that beeps to tell you when to walk and when to run. And Jeff Galloway mentioned it on the show that we did with him last week. But if you do have that and you're in a race, if it beeps, sometimes people will know that that's what it is and they'll move away. I would definitely stay over to the right side. I'm sure you could have figured that out. But one thing that I have learned that you can do to tell people that you're going to switch from walk to run is just to raise your hand, to lift up your hand. And I did that on one race recently, and somebody came up to me and said, are you from Canada? Are you from, or from England? I can't remember which one they said. But my buddy Holly Allen taught me that trick, and I've seen a lot of people do it at the races, so I think that's a good etiquette. So as soon as you're going to a walk from a run, raise up your hand, and then move over to the side. Mike?
Jill, I have two things that I want you to think about. Number one, not to worry about how fast you go. Just make sure that you don't re-injure yourself. And the second thing, I would like you to go to your physical therapist, and I would like you to ask your physical therapist if you should wear compression socks for the race. And the reason why I say that is that if you're wearing compression socks, you might be able to help your calf maintain nourishment and circulation will be down there. You may want to check with your physical therapist on that. That's all I had to add.
Okay. So I think we're all done for our questions this week.
We're all done. And so we're off to, Walt Disney World, but I'm hoping that next week will be a very, very important week for the Mickey Mouse podcast. We want everyone to...
Mike, you're being so mysterious.
I know.
And you're saying, oh, we're off to Walt Disney World.
if everything goes right, we will have a very special episode on Tuesday. If everything goes wrong, then I never said this. Okay.
Well, we can edit it out. So I just want to remind everybody that we have a meet on Sunday, May 5th at 1 p.m. at the Landscape of Flavors. And you can come and have lunch with us and say hello. And if you're not there, we'll be posting pictures on Twitter and Facebook, and chime in and tell us what you think or what you want to see. We'll interview people. And it should be a great time. Will be had by all, I think.
So, next stop, Orlando, Florida. So far, Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean. My name is Mike Scopa. We will see you in the air and on the road.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.